The news hasn't been good recently for people planning a cruise ship vacation. Although the majority of travelers experience a trip that is relatively problem-free, we do come across reports of norovirus outbreaks on some cruise ships. Recently, the world's largest cruise ship was held in port for intensive cleaning after a second outbreak of gastrointestinal illnesses in two voyages sickened 106 people. And reports this week of norovirus have cropped up at the Olive Garden restaurant in Indianapolis, in the United States, and hospitals in the Maritimes. And I'm pleased to introduce Bruce Gamage, who's a registered nurse and infection control consultant at the BC Provincial Infection Control Network and BC Center for Disease Control. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
What are the noroviruses?
Well, noroviruses are actually a group of viruses that cause gastrointestinal illness, which most people would refer to as stomach flu. Though we need to be careful there, because when we use the term flu, there's an often a confusion with the influenza, which is a respiratory virus and is not a gastrointestinal virus. So they are a group of viruses that cause the stomach flu, which means outbreaks of nausea, vomiting, and diarrhea.
Now, what proportion of all the gastrointestinal illnesses or diarrhea, or as you've mentioned, stomach flu in quotations, is caused by this particular group of viruses?
It's difficult to estimate exactly, because the vast majority of these outbreaks, when they happen in the community, we never actually test for the causative virus. But when we look at the ones that we actually test for, which are outbreaks that usually happen in things like healthcare facilities, like hospitals, like long-term care facilities, probably somewhere between 70% to 80% of those outbreaks, we actually find that a norovirus is the cause.
How is the virus normally transmitted? And also, as an extension of that, how does it cause the damage? What does it exactly do to the gastrointestinal system to cause that problem?
Well, people who develop the actual illness have a large amount of the virus present in their stool and in their vomit, so that is the main way that's transmitted. It's actually when people are ill with this, they are shedding large amounts of the virus into the environment, have it on their hands, and if they're not washing their hands properly, touching surfaces, preparing food, and so forth. And that's the major way that it is spread. Now, the virus itself obviously attacks the lining of the intestine, so that it's causing damage to the actual intestinal wall, and you get a large amount of inflammation and fluid loss, and that's what causes the diarrhea and the vomiting.
Now, are there certain groups of people that are more vulnerable to complications of this illness? Is this a benign illness where, you know, if you get fluid replacement, you can sort of make your way through it? Or are there certain groups of people that suffer more if they do contract this illness?
The vast majority of people who do contract this illness will be ill and feel very unhappy for probably 24 to 48 hours, but it is self-limiting, and they will get over it and recover quite well. They're definitely the more vulnerable people are the elderly or the very young, because they are more vulnerable to dehydration and need to be very careful that they do keep their fluids up and are drinking lots of clear fluids and so forth. Mainly, what we usually would recommend that if in people who have severe diarrhea and vomiting, and that if this continues for more than about 3 to 4 days, they probably should be seeing a healthcare professional and making sure that they are keeping their hydration up so that they don't get into trouble.
We hear in the news, you know, again this week, a restaurant and a hospital, and it always invariably, each year you hear about cruise ships and this occurring on cruise ships. What are the factors that contribute to those particular sites being a focus for this for an outbreak? Is there something specific to the location or the site that a person is at, or in this case being on the ship, that contributes to this particular spread of disease?
Well, every year we do with norovirus, we see new strains of the virus coming through the community. The virus does change slightly so that we're not immune to the new strains that come through every year. People who live in places like long-term care facilities are vulnerable because they are, I guess you use the term shut-ins, so that they, if there is one person who becomes ill, this virus is brought into the facility, everybody else in the facility can be very quickly exposed to this. If you imagine, say, a long-term care facility, the environment where everybody's eating in a common dining room, one person vomits in that dining room, the little tiny droplets fly through the air, land on all other kinds of surfaces and so forth. So it's very easily spread amongst that population. And the virus itself has a very, very low infectious dose. So it's estimated that somewhere around 10 particles of the virus, if you ingest that, then it can make you sick. If you also look, and if that equates into, you look at, say, for example, the cruise ship environment, where if you have one or two passengers bring this aboard the cruise ship leaves harbor, you have a captive audience for that virus, and is very easily spread. If you have a lot of people who are ill, if they're going to the dining room, if they, say, for example, the buffet is contaminated by somebody vomiting, or often you'll get if any of the crew members become sick, and if there's a possibility that they've contaminated any of the food that's served, it's very easily spread that way. And then you also look at people sharing bathrooms. If you're sharing bathrooms and that's where the people are being sick or having diarrhea, this virus is very hardy in the environment, so that it will stay on surfaces like taps, on countertops, and so forth. So unless those countertops and taps and so forth are very frequently cleaned and disinfected, then people who are going to come into that environment, touch those surfaces, and then put their hands in their mouths or go and eat and so forth without washing their hands, and they've picked up the virus. So it's very easily transmitted. And so when you have a group of people living in a concentrated area where they're always sharing the same space, sharing the same food, sharing the same bathrooms, it very easily spreads in those environments.
Now, are there any specific infection control measures that should be done? If there is an outbreak, what should a person expect to be done in that environment to ensure that the virus is eradicated? And secondly, as was reported in the news, this cruise ship had a second outbreak, which meant that something failed in the process of eliminating the virus. What kills the virus? What measures would your organization make if something like this happened in British Columbia with regards to guidelines to ensure eradication of the virus in that environment?
Well, there's some very specific things that we can look at. First off, obviously, hand hygiene is extremely important. The main way that we get at this is from touching things, touching people, and then eating food, putting our hands in our mouth, and so forth. So people need to be very aware of their hand hygiene if there is an outbreak going on. Think about what they've touched and so forth, and think about when they should be washing their hands. Obvious times when you want to wash your hands: after using the bathroom, before eating, before preparing any food that's going to be shared amongst people. The other thing is that the people need to be aware of how they're washing their hands. Most people, when they wash their hands, they consider just running their hands under the tap and getting them wet and is enough, and it's not. You really need to use running water, soap, good friction, and to actually remove the virus from the surface of your hands and then wash it down the drain. A lot of people are now using these alcohol-based hand rubs. Mm-hmm. They have a limited effectiveness against the noroviruses, mainly because the actual norovirus itself is what's called a non-enveloped virus, which means that it's a hardier virus and not well killed by the alcohols. The alcohols actually act by dehydrating the virus and blowing it up, but a non-alveolar virus is much harder and difficult to kill. So when there's a norovirus outbreak going on, we recommend that people focus on using hot water and soap and actually removing the virus from the surface of your skin and washing it down the drain. The other thing is we look at, as I mentioned, because this virus is hardy in the environment, that cleaning and disinfecting of the environment is extremely important, especially if somebody's had a vomiting or a diarrhea accident. The two things that you need to focus on is, one, cleaning so that the actual surfaces are visibly clean, but then there needs to be a second step of actually disinfecting those surfaces. Mm. And because if you don't do that, then even though you've cleaned the surface, the virus may still well be on those surfaces. So what we recommend for cleaning is a dilute bleach solution. The recommendations vary between using a 1-10 dilution of household bleach up to a 1-50 dilution of household bleach. There's been various studies done that have looked at the efficacy of those disinfectants, and some do claim that the 1-50 dilution, which would be 1,000 parts per million, is effective, but others have shown that you have to use up to the 5,000 parts per million. The difficulty as well is with contact time. With any disinfectant, you need to make sure that you're using the right concentration and also the correct contact time. And with bleach, you sometimes need up to a 5-minute contact time, which means that surface actually remains wet.
Wow.
And that's really difficult, especially if you're thinking of your average cleaner going in and cleaning a room, mm-hmm. keeping all the surfaces wet. And then as well, people really don't like using bleach. It smells bad. It's hard on to breathe in all the fumes and so forth. And there are actually some people who have become sensitized to bleach. So we also looking at other sort of alternatives. There are some alternatives to the bleach. The one is using what's called an accelerated hydrogen peroxide product. There's also varied evidence over the efficacy of that, of actually killing these viruses. But it is an alternative that we have recommended when people are saying that they can't use bleach. And there are a lot of facilities and places like that which have no bleach policies, so they do need to have an alternative. Now, the other thing that we do look at is needing to make sure that people who are ill are kept away from the rest of the general population. So, in a healthcare facility, we would say keep that person in their room. If we're looking at something like a cruise ship, again, keeping that person out of the general dining area, out of the general areas, confining them to their cabin if possible, so that they're not, while they're actually physically ill, mm-hmm. out and about and spreading the virus around. It's a difficult thing to actually restrict people's movement, but it's something that we highly recommend. So the three things that we really recommend are the hand hygiene, the proper cleaning and disinfection of surfaces, and then saying to people, you know, if you're ill, if you can, stay away or at least remove yourself from the general area. And then in terms of healthcare workers and food handlers, we say definitely, you know, stay home. Don't come into work if you are ill. And also realize that once they are feeling better, they can continue to shed the virus for up to several days to a couple of weeks after they're feeling better. So they still need to be very, very conscious of their hand hygiene, especially after using the toilet before preparing food.
And finally, is there a website or a place our listeners can go to get more information about norovirus and also to review the recommendations that you've just given them?
Well, on the BC Centre for Disease Control website, which is www.bccdc.org, there are some posted guidelines specifically for the management of outbreaks in healthcare facilities. I know that the Vancouver Coastal Health Public Health Group, in collaboration with the Health Canada Group, have been working on a set of guidelines specifically for the hospitality industry, hotels and restaurants. And then the cruise ship companies have their own specific protocols for cleaning on ships, and the various different cruise lines have their own protocols, which I don't think are readily available to the public, but basically they're very similar in terms of what they have to. They're very specific about cleaning and disinfecting and isolating passengers and so forth. You asked the question about if there's failure of controlling an outbreak on the ships, and specifically a ship that had one outbreak following another. I think it's very difficult to specifically say, was there a failure as opposed to when it was there a passenger that came onto the next cruise that was carrying this and spread it again, or is there the possibility that there were crew members who were exposed to the virus when they were cleaning the ship, or when they were from a previous cruise that carried it over and became ill after the next cruise left? So that's something else that they need to look at, and not necessarily just sort of say that their outbreak control measures were a failure, but they're actually the virus may have been reintroduced either by a passenger or a crew member that was exposed.
Well, Mr. Gammons, I'd like to thank you very much for taking the opportunity to providing this thorough explanation of norovirus. The information, I think, is very valuable for our listeners, and hopefully they'll take that when they go on their travels and use some of that information to prevent the illnesses and have a healthy and happy vacation.
No, I hope so. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. All the best.
You too.
Bruce Gammons is a registered nurse and infection control consultant at the BC Provincial Infection Control Network and the British Columbia Centre for Disease Control.